Welcome. My name is Gina Timberman, and you are listening to Timber People, a podcast about people who, like timber, are strong, build and create, who gather us together like fuel that feeds fire. People who support structures of our community that uplift and protect.
What a pleasure it is today for me to welcome my dear friend, longtime friend and associate and partner, Chris Griswold. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you, Gina, for having me.
It's so great to have you on the show. You are an incredible friend, a great father. You have done so many things as a volunteer in our community. You're an author. You're an attorney. We went to law school together. We have some fun stories to talk about with that. And you're an activist, and you are a mentor and an educator, a teacher as well. And I don't know where to start.
Well, thank you, Gina. All those things, well, we all wear different hats. I think we're all given gifts to use. And I guess it's just being self-aware enough to know that you have certain talents maybe given to you, and you use them as seasons in your life make them relevant.
I really appreciate the fact that you take your talents and experience and you help others, assist others in navigating challenges through real property issues as a broker, as a real estate and a real property attorney, that you also assist people in estate planning and real life events, which, you know, we all go through, and, you know, and I have recently, and many other people have as well, and you have in the past as well. And you really help people navigate life.
Well, right or wrong, I guess I do, and hopefully I do a good job of that, Gina. It's definitely something that we acquire. It's a gift. It's like anything that we do in life, we get better at it as we do it. And hopefully I have some success with all that.
So, you know, oftentimes we learn about our friends and people that it's not such a linear knowledge. I've been grateful to grow up with people like you have, where you know their life's journey from, you know, you meet when you're little, and then you like know their journey throughout life. And we met during law school.
We did.
And we both had the opportunity to work. You were my partner in crime. We worked together. I mean, pun kind of intended, but we worked in the Office of Tribal Justice and the Department of Environment and Natural Resources for DOJ while we were in law school. And that was such an incredible time in DC. But becoming friends with you and working with you and just witnessing your talent and your education and action, I really got to learn so much about your journey, which really isn't what you might hear every day. It's so unique and layered in these really awesome experiences. I do know that you've always excelled at what you do, and as an athlete, and then in your time throughout your undergraduate. I want the listeners to hear a little bit about your journey. And it's so interesting. Like, we met at one point, and then I got to learn from the beginnings at a different point in life. So it's so cool.
It is cool, Gina. Life is a story that we live out. We don't read it. We actually experience it. And to do it with somebody like we have done it together, going back so early, we met in law school in 1996. We were 22 at that time, over half our life ago. And the first time we spent any real time together was in Washington, D.C.,
right,
at the Department of Justice, and with some pretty big Indian tribal cases coming down, the Cohen case and others. It was also during the impeachment proceedings of President Clinton. We were up there right in the middle of that.
You mentioned the Cobell case. That was crazy. And with the Clinton, that's really like, we have those file stamp copies that we remember taking care of that and those briefs. But thank you for mentioning that.
We did. We had a lot of fun. I guess the story would start personally. My parents were school teachers, and I was raised on a school teacher salary. My dad lost his job in the 80s. He was a wood shop, metal shop teacher, which kind of segue my career as I kind of worked through this in the next minute or two. But my mom was an English teacher for almost 50 years. My dad was a wood shop, metal shop teacher in the 80s in Dallas, not unlike Oklahoma. Gross production tax on oil head, you know, the oil wells that run our school systems went way down.
Right.
And so everybody that wasn't a science, math, or English teacher like my mother was let go, including my dad. My dad went back to work doing what he'd put himself through teacher college at North Texas in Denton, doing which was carpentry work and construction. So at the age of 8, 9 years old, I started working with my dad in the summers, definitely on the weekends and on weeknights after school and football practice was out, basically from the age of about 8 or so going forward all the way through, you know, even college, parts of college, doing construction work. And that's kind of how I became a real estate attorney. I flipped houses and bought houses off out of receiverships and deed in lieu and bankruptcy trustees throughout college and law school both. And so by the time I graduated from law school, I had a lot of demonstrated experience from an employer's point of view that I guess made my resume a little more appealing than somebody else that didn't have that hands-on, go do it, flip it, rebuild something yourself sort of experience. So that's kind of how I got my in as a real estate attorney, starting in Pier 1 Imports and then right. later on to JCPenney Corporation. There, and oddly enough, those are both out of business now, more or less. But that's kind of the beginning of my life. And then my career took shape from there.
Yeah, you have such a diverse history in working with, you know, corporate entities and with individuals. And I know that you have been a professor at the University of Central Oklahoma and have mentored so many people in understanding our laws and opportunities with real property in our state. It's really great.
It's been a lot of fun. I've grown along with it. My experience really stemmed from kind of as a hands-on person. Guys that do what I do, usually their dads or their grandfathers were attorneys that do what I did. So it's unusual. I had people, they used to ask me, you know, Chris, how did you learn how to do all this? If your dad, you know, if you didn't come from this, who taught you how to do all this without an uncle or a father or a mother or a sister that had kind of gone in front of you? And I was like, well, I just did it and just learned it and figured it out and did it. So it was always kind of an enigma, my career getting started that way. It's not a common way to get into commercial transactional business work like I do, predominantly in real estate. And so it is kind of a neat story, maybe.
Absolutely. And before I get into, I want to talk about your newsletter and how you inform the public on opportunities relative to leases and other property issues and estate planning and other experiences. I want to go back to, I know you, you're a strategic thinker, you're very thoughtful, and you've also employed that not only in your professional life, but in sports when you were growing up. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I don't think a lot of people know what your experience was as a football player and what you were doing in college, which is a really incredible story.
It was a different upbringing. I graduated in 1992 from high school and from Plano. And so I was a product of the 80s. And back in the 80s, the world was a little different than it is today. We didn't have Instagram and all kinds of stuff. We had some basic video games, but things were a lot more physical maybe than they are now. They're predominantly. Yeah. At the time, Plano was a football power in the state of Texas. And movies like Friday Night Lights were coming out and later on, and I guess in the mid-90s, but they were written about the Texas high school football scene.
And you are very much a part of that scene.
And I was. That movie, it's cool. They actually approached Coach Kimbrough, our coach, coach of the Plano Wildcats first, to make that movie Friday Night Lights, and he turned him down because he thought it might interfere with his program. So they went to they went to Odessa Permia, who we beat more than once in the state playoffs. And so that was a cool twist. But I was a linebacker for Plano. We won most of our games and were fortunate to do that. We were Plano at that time. Things have changed obviously 30 years hence, but they were the winningest team in Texas. They won more football mm-hmm. games under Coach Kimbrough than any other team in the state of Texas at that time on a running record basis, an inception, basis into the playing years. And so to play for him and a franchise like that was really cool. I enjoyed a lot of notoriety from that. And I ran track, and I was a competition breakdancer as a young man.
That's so awesome.
And still do some of that.
I can see it, too.
And I was a kickboxer.
Your yoga, like how, like, yeah, I can see all of that. You are a very accomplished athlete.
It's fun. And to be able to still do that at 50 years old, a lot of it is cool. The kickboxing stuff, I don't fight competitively anymore, but I used to. And I try to be smart now in what I do. But it's a lot of great memories, and it did form and shape me. So somewhere between dancing and fighting and playing football for the best football team, really, it's not a credit to myself, but Coach Kimbrough and the rest of the Plano Wildcat football team. It was really legendary stuff that born that movie and that book, Friday Night Lights, that really captivates people even still today.
Yeah, I love when you've shown me pictures, and you're so humble. Like, unless I really asked about it, I know you wouldn't talk about it. And so I really appreciate that. And how did that experience translate into your college experience?
Well, you know, I guess my mom was an English teacher in Plano. And the way that she would always put it, I think, is right. I think if you can compete and succeed, you're lucky enough and you're blessed enough to succeed. I think especially in some of those situations, you know, football games with, you know, 50,000 plus people in them where you can't even hear yourself think when you're 16, 17 years old, that shapes you into something that is confident in yourself and you can accomplish things if you just set your mind to them. It's simply a matter of putting forth the effort. And I think it does alter your trajectory. And I owe so much to my teachers and my coaches, all of whom I'm still great friends with. A lot of them are clients now, that made me think that right or wrong, that I could do some of the things that I set out to do. And God bless me with being able to accomplish some of those.
Absolutely. So what was college like for you?
College was quieter. Was a lot more about studying, knuckling down. I did work some. I didn't play football in college. I was still physical. I still worked out. I still did a lot of dancing and a lot of fighting. I got more into fighting in college. I enjoyed that a lot. It didn't interfere with the internships that I was working and things that I was trying to do. I was too small to be a major contributor at the college level. I was a 180-pound linebacker. That was lucky to be on the team at all at Plano, much less to be accomplished and on a state level to be successful. And so I didn't want to push it. I didn't want to get anything broken in college. My position at that point was 60, 70 pounds more really than what I weighed. And so I was smart. My dad and I, we all agreed. Everybody knew that I could still be successful in certain chosen fields. And so I withdrew from the football part and enhanced the dancing and the fighting part and tried to make good grades to get into law school.
And where were you in college?
I went to Texas Tech.
Yeah.
It's our family school. Everybody that, except for my two parents, my sister, her husband, my uncle, my great uncle, my niece is currently out there getting her master's all at Texas
Tech.
That's so
great.
So it's cool. It's
that legacy
cool
is so cool. And I know that, you know, when we were in law school, it was at the time because of our economy at that time in 1999, a lot of our classmates were going back to Texas. And I know that you had experiences in going back and reconnecting with community and family and then being in Oklahoma. And it's so great that you're here now and have invested your time and professional life and your family's experience so much in over the years in Oklahoma. And we're really grateful for that.
I'm lucky. I owe Oklahoma so much. Oklahoma is where everything started for me, from school to meeting you, the opportunities, so many things that really would probably not have happened or come together in Texas. Oklahoma is such a entrepreneurial state. There's so many mavericks and people that start businesses in this state on an incubator level. And to have been here, especially in the last 15, 16, 17 years during the renaissance of Oklahoma City on so many levels, has really helped my career. And so it's definitely fed into the clients I have and enjoy. It's been remarkable.
Absolutely. You know, you have participated with me in different things like Rotary and community events. And I know you enjoy volunteering. Can you talk a little bit about that? I know that's close to your heart.
It is. My mom and my dad were huge volunteers, and that fed into my spirit. During the pandemic, was able to be lucky enough to contribute a little bit more with the Wheels on Meals program here in Oklahoma City, and help with that, and other great organizations that deserve our dollars, and try to be an advocate for them. Anywhere from the YWCA here with Janet Perry, and everybody knows and loves Jan so much, I'm a 15 plus, I guess 15, 16 years now, legal advisor to the Oklahoma City Department Police Chaplains Group. Mm-hmm. Lots of great men in there who largely volunteer their time, although they do some of the most, I won't describe work right here on the air that is so noble and unsung. And so I try to, in my small way, help them, give them some morale, give them some legal guidance, and be there for those chaplains here in Oklahoma City when they need me. And I'm on call, and I'm back and forth now to Dallas and Oklahoma City so much, but I'm always available by phone, and it's easy to do that now. But those are good men and women. Those are some of the groups that I've worked with.
Yes, and you always have a real connection to the areas in life that you're, for which you're passionate, and I appreciate that, and I know so many people do, and your kids are, you know, growing up, and it's incredible to see your pictures and everything, and I know you're a great dad, and how do it's crazy how time goes by so quickly, but how do you feel about that stage in life where you are as a dad, and, you know, as well as being connected to the community and sharing those experiences with them?
You know, it's very cool. I'm lucky to have made it this far in life, whether as just a taxpayer or a parent or a volunteer to still be alive at my age. Not everybody makes it there. You know, most of the men in my family died before they were my age. And so to be able to see my kids go into their teenage years, which not every guy in my family has been lucky enough to do, is very heartwarming, and it grows you. You think that you know and understand life until you raise kids. It's like you think that you understand a subject until you try to teach it. And so it enriches life, and there's a lot of aha moments that I found myself being very thankful to be able to be a parent. So many people are not, or their life doesn't work out that way, or fertility issues. And so I'm batting 1,000 to have been lucky enough to been married to a woman who had a condition with her fertility where she wasn't really supposed to have babies at all, much less. We almost had 4 children. That was a real huge blessing, and I try not to take that for granted.
Absolutely. No, for sure. And, you know, during COVID, there were so many negative things. When I think about positive things that I experienced during that time, you're oftentimes connected to that. And from us, like, having that time to brainstorm new approaches to the work that we do, you and I were exploring with international intertribal trade and investment opportunities and business development with tribes during that time. And we also were, I was blessed to be living at that time next to a large commercial building that had a big white wall and people with a yard out front. And so we got a projector and we would post.
I remember that.
We would put like movies outside and
so fun.
Have movie nights, and people who could like walk by the street could sit outside. And that was a lot of fun. And, you know, so there's so many good memories for that experience. And I know that we've chased some of those rabbits with work, and I know we'll continue to. What are you working on these days?
You know, nowadays my body of work has morphed. I started out again simply doing a lot of real estate law work, mm-hmm. and then bankers and business owners and estate planning needs arose, and so my business grew despite myself as far as expanding. I didn't plan it; it just organically did that. And then, of course, as a real estate broker here in Oklahoma, you know, more was added to that. So anymore, my body of work is not, it was never mundane, but it's definitely more diverse now than it used to be. And so it's great. A client might come to me and need a contract done. And then at the same time, his mother may die, for example. And so I would probate that estate while he realizes how important a trust is. So I do a trust, and then we probate his mom's estate, and then I become the broker that lists that family property in some rural area of the state and get it sold. Right now I'm doing that down in Idabel for a family with 640 acres that I'm probating. Then I'll be the broker that lists it. And I did the same work in Texas too. So it's cool to be able to do somebody's legal work, do their estate planning, be their realtor, and sometimes their life coach and everything in between. It's a cool place and space to arrive at in life for a kid that didn't know much about the law other than, you know, criminal and family law on TV, you know, those sorts of shows. And so I'm luckier than I deserve, I think, on that.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think you deserve it. But I will also say, you know, the work that you've committed to, you know, just through our conversations and knowing you, you place a really special value on the mentors that you've had in your life. You know, people like Michael Laird and others, and throughout the community, many others. And I really appreciate the fact that you're reciprocal with that and you pay it back to young people and those starting out in their careers.
I try to, and that's really what we all should do if we're lucky enough to have that opportunity. So many people really do pave the way for us. You know, God, I think, really put special people in our lives to cultivate us and mentor us. I lost my dad very early at the age of 32. And he wasn't a lawyer anyway. So it's really been upon the backs of great men like Michael Laird and Randall Shadid and Edmund and other great lawyers who have really cultivated me and brought me along to hopefully a good lawyer today.
Absolutely. Well, Chris, it's been such a pleasure having you on the show. And I know that you have a really incredible newsletter. I love, like, it's not just putting information out about you, which is awesome. You also put information out that can really be practical information for people if they need that to implement into their needs in life. And so before we close out the show, I really want the listener to know about your website and about your newsletter and what that means to you.
My newsletter is something I started right when I went into private practice 17 years ago with about 30, 35 names. And of course, I paid them all to be on it and receive it. it's just grown despite any and all bad writing that I've done.
I haven't seen a stitch of bad writing from you ever.
It's, you know, in that writing is the newspaper wires started picking up these newsletters as my subscriptions. It organically grows, has grown up to around 35,000, 40,000
awesome.
People. And so the papers picked those up. That's how UCO recognized me, wanted me to teach in their real estate program. And OSU also, they're teaching one of my books, Common Laws for Uncommon People, that's available on Amazon and Kindle. It's on ebook. I was guest lecturing up at OSU a few weeks ago. But everything's just kind of morphed and grown and become a great platform upon which to educate people. And in a growing number that I'm blessed and able to reach through that newsletter, I'm able to publicize some other things that I do. Books I write, a children's book series that I wrote during the pandemic.
I love it.
TommyTheTurtle.net. I dedicated the first three to my kids in birth order, my three children, Troy, Mackenzie, then Vance, on kids' issues, you know.
And empathy and
getting bullied at school,
themselves and practical ways that
divorce.
Kids relate to the world and, you know, can really help them too.
The stuff that they encounter. And so nowadays the newsletter has pictures and events on those books that I write, TommyTheTurtle.net. It's all available on my website, ChrisGriswoldPC.com, and along with adult books that I write, like the business law book, Common Laws for Uncommon People, and other adult books that are, you know, hopefully encouraging and uplifting and kind of they're presented in the format of stories, the PS We Can and PS We Will books. All this is available on Amazon and it's on my website. But that newsletter has really been the key that really made a lot of that grow. And for years you've been on it, and thank you for taking it. And I can move the needle. You know, as a volunteer and a contributor, hopefully in the community for nonprofits who I can showcase on that newsletter and advance other causes than my own.
Well, I appreciate you. And I know our community, so many in the community, they do as well. Many people do as well. And Chris, it's been such a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gina.
Yakoki, thank you for joining us. Timber People is brought to you by the Possibilities Podcast platform.